Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right, folks, let's get right to it. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Great to have all you deplorables with us, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Hey, a lot going on this hour. We're going to get to James O'Keefe in just a few moments. The big breaking story, he was able to dial into a CNN editorial meeting earlier today. Jeff Zucker's got to be really having a bad day. And we're going to get to that in just a few moments. Also, about an hour or so ago, some interesting testimony coming from the state of Michigan. I want you to hear this soundbite from the hearing.
Not one of the military ballots was a registered voter, and the ballots looked like they were all exactly the same Xerox copies of the ballot. They were all for Biden across the board. There wasn't a single Trump vote, and none of the voters were registered. They had to manually enter the names and addresses and a birth date of 1-1-2020, which would override the system and allow them to enter non-registered voters, of which I saw several that day. Throughout the day, that's how they would override voters that were neither in the electronic poll book or the supplemental updated poll book.
Thank you.
All right. That witness was testifying that all of the military ballots she saw looked like Xerox copies of each other. None of them were registered Michigan voters, and every single one of those votes went for Joe Biden. I want to go right now to the Liberty University newsmaker line, the author of the incredible book, The War for America's Soul, our good friend, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, who has one of the top radio shows in America. Dr. Gorka, good to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
And I got to tell you, Dr. Gorka, I am envious of your bumper music. You have the coolest bumper music in all of talk radio.
Look, I'm a child of the 80s, and I just indulge myself. Thank you. People love the bumper music. The only sad thing is, Todd, those fascists at YouTube don't let us play the music on our video there. But if you want good bumper music, check out the podcast, check out the live radio, Salem, 3 to 6 Eastern, every day, Monday to Friday.
SebGorka.com, the website. And Dr. Gorka, we are proud to carry your program on the radio station that I own here in Memphis, Tennessee. You've got a lot of fans here in the Mid-South.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear it. A lot of patriots out there.
Indeed. Dr. Gorka, let's get right to this. So we just played this audio clip from Michigan. There's another report out there. The Georgia Secretary of State now says 250 open investigations into voter fraud. My question, why the heck did they certify the vote?
Yeah, indeed. I mean, the sheer insanity of anybody certifying anything when, you know, just go online. I posted it yesterday. Sidney Powell's single filing for Michigan is 75 pages long, with another 60 pages of affidavits and concrete empirical evidence of massive scale voter fraud just in one state. So, you know, the fat lady has not begun to sing. We have 2 weeks until the Electoral College meets. We have until January the 6th until those votes are counted in D.C. So there's still everything to play for.
And yet the hate and the vitriol being directed at not just President Trump, not just his attorneys or the administration, but anybody who believes that there was, in fact, voter fraud, they're trying to portray all of us as being, you know, conspiratorial nut jobs.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, we've witnessed 4 years of propaganda from the mainstream news media, where we were supposed to believe that there was Russian collusion between us on the president's transition team, the president's campaign. For 4 years, they found zero evidence. Robert Mueller had $40 million to investigate it, zero evidence. But now, when we have actual evidence of fraudulent activity during an election, potentially connected to external actors as well, we're supposed to ignore it. It tells you, Todd, just how incredibly morally bankrupt the mainstream media has become.
You're absolutely right. And Dr. Gorka, this news coming in from the Associated Press, President Trump filed a lawsuit today in Wisconsin seeking to disqualify more than 221,000 ballots in the state's two most Democratic counties. We're starting to see a pattern here, and the pattern has been out there for anybody with eyes and a working brain to see that in these major Democrat counties, there has been great fraud.
It's absolute. Look, just one thing. We played the audio, Todd, on my show yesterday from the incredible pre-Thanksgiving hearing in Gettysburg in front of the state house of Pennsylvania. You had a former military intelligence professional, a colonel who's now a forensic scientist, give you the data that there was a dump of more than 500,000 votes for Biden at the same time as 300 votes were registered for President Trump. So we're supposed to believe that as votes are tabulated, 96% of the addition is for sleepy, creepy Beijing Biden, and the incumbent in the White House gets less than 4%. Everybody knows this stinks to high heaven.
And then when you tie in what happened in Southern California, and nobody's talking about this, Dr. Gorka, last night, Mike Garcia became the fourth Republican to take over a seat once occupied by Democrats. This is a huge thing. This was a red wave that swept across Southern California, and they want us to believe that the guy responsible for the red wave lost the election. It's just unbelievable. I want to ask you, though, about the Trump administration, how the president's doing. What are your sources telling you inside the White House?
I spoke to the president after the election. I told him that we have to use every legal opportunity to challenge these fraudulent elections all the way up to the Supreme Court. But fundamentally, given the time crunch and also the fact that judges are just inherently unwilling to overturn the results of elections, this is a political challenge and there is a pathway to victory. We discussed this yesterday with General Flynn on my show. The path is very clear. Every single battleground state where the president was winning and suddenly they stopped counting votes and magically Biden won those states actually has GOP state houses. The governor and the state secretary may be Democrat, but every single one has a state house run by the Republican Party. According to the U.S. Constitution, it is the state houses that run elections. These individuals must be sent a very clear message by your listeners, by the president, by the residents of each of those states. If they dare to certify clearly, transparently fraudulent elections and send those electoral college votes to D.C., those individuals will never, ever be reelected. That's the message we have to send. In that case, we have a contingent election, just like Thomas Jefferson in the House of Representatives in D.C. gets to reelect the president, not by members, but by state delegations. And the beauty is the GOP state delegations outnumber the Democrats, and President Trump would be reelected.
Great stuff. Looking forward to the show this afternoon, Dr. Gorka. By the way, the book, The War for America's Soul, we've got a direct link to it in our live show blog. You can get it wherever you get your book. SebGorka.com is the website. Seb, always good having you on the program.
God bless you and the listeners. Thank you, Todd.
All right. Great American patriot right there. Good guy. Dr. Sebastian Gorka. And you got to go check out his website. That was a terrific interview yesterday he did with General Michael Flynn. But look, he's right. We have a responsibility here, folks. We have got to hold our state elected leaders accountable here. They are the firewall. They've got to get to the bottom of all of this this election fraud. No doubt about it. The idea that you can have military ballots coming in that look like they were Xeroxed, every single one of them going for Joe Biden in Michigan. Unbelievable. And of course, the breaking news we just shared with you a few moments ago, President Trump filing a lawsuit in Wisconsin seeking to disqualify more than 221,000 ballots in two of the state's most Democratic counties. Well, that's where the fraud is happening, folks. That's where the fraud is happening. So we've got to get to the bottom of this. And I know that some of you are getting a little anxious. I know sometimes we sound repetitive. But we have to hold the line. That is our job here, folks. We've got to hold the line, and we've got to demand that our Republican leaders take action. And this is the problem. Connor from Boston yesterday on this program said it so eloquently. The Republicans are going wobbly, and they are. They want to go back to their old ways of capitulating, of bowing down and taking one up the wazoo from the Democrats. And we cannot allow that to happen anymore. President Trump taught the Republicans how to fight. We've got to stand up and we've got to fight. That's what this is all about. We're going to be taking your calls here, 844-747-8868. That is a toll-free number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
By the way, I've got to share this text message with you. Our good friend, Joe Thorderson, he is the host of a terrific home improvement show called Tool Talk Radio. And if you'd like information about that, go to kwamradio.com. Just a terrific guy. And woodworking, I mean, it's just incredible. He built our fence here at the broadcast compound. And he says, we were talking earlier in the first hour of the show about how important it is for us to support the trades and the great work President Trump has done affirming young men, young women who want to work with their hands for a living. And Joe says, Todd, preach on, boss. People who know how to work with their hands are in high demand and it keeps you physically fit. And you don't have to wear a suit to work. Well, there you go. It's if you don't want to wear a coat and tie, there you go. So, Joe, thanks for that text message. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Roger in Morehead City, North Carolina, listening to us on The Talk Station. Hi, Roger. What's going on?
Hi, Todd. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
I believe, and it's personal thought, but the problem with everything, coronavirus, just everything, is the leftists, socialists, the Democrats, whatever you want to call them, want to get rid of the middle class. The deep state we hear about, the super rich, well, the super rich want a super poor to serve them. And the only thing standing in their way is the middle class. And it was working for them. And then along came Donald Trump. And Donald Trump stood up for the middle class man, the working man who takes the burden of paying the taxes and working hard all of his life. And the Democrats want to take all that away. But if they can get rid of the middle class and have a super rich and a super poor to serve them, it would be just like any other third world country.
Now,
and Donald Trump just took that away from them and gave it back to the middleman.
Now, Roger, you're raising a very interesting point, and you're making an astute observation here, because you're right. When you take away the middle class, and I would even say the upper middle class, anybody who's in the middle class, whether you're lower middle class, middle class, or upper middle class, when you take those folks out of the equation, you're right. What happens is all of those people in the middle class become part of the super poor. They don't become part of the super rich. And then you have the perfect formula, for socialism, for what happened in Venezuela, where they declared war on the middle class, and look what happened.
Exactly. So the middle class, the patriots of this country, the people that believe in America like I do, I love my country, it's time for us to stand up to the Democrats. You know, we all know it was a fraudulent election. I mean, a blind man can see that. And so it's time that we all band together and do something about it. But how do you get all those people together? How do we have a nationwide protest to stand up for Mr. Trump?
President Trump?
You know what, Roger? That is a terrific question. And let me see if I can't help answer that for you, because I know many people are doing these kinds of things in their states, and I think those are noble things, and I think they're great. But the reality is, Roger, most of us have jobs. Most of us cannot take time off work to go and participate. But there is one thing you can do, and that is listen to talk radio. And I, for some reason, Roger, years ago when I was at Fox, most of the people who went to go work at Fox, their end result was to go and be on the TV. Me, I was very happy doing radio. I mean, I loved doing my TV show, but I loved radio. And I believe that radio is the only medium where you can have this one-on-one conversation. You know, you can't call up and talk to Sean Hannity on Fox News Channel, but you can talk to him on the radio. You can talk to me on the radio. And I think that those of us in talk radio need to understand the power of this medium. And Roger, I do believe that talk radio has the power to change this country and change it for the better. And I'm gonna promise you, no matter what happens, I don't care if Donald Trump gets another 4 years or if Joe Biden gets into office, we're gonna be that place where you can come, where we can mobilize people across this country to get registered to vote, to get engaged in the voting process, and maybe some of you folks might even want to consider running for office. And we want to be that platform for you guys. Does that make sense?
It does. But what if I told you there's an easy, simple way to have a nationwide protest?
I'm all ears, Roger.
Okay. On a specified date, everyone drive your cars to your state capitol. Go to D.C., jam up the highways and don't let nothing move. I mean, just jam everything up. If you can't make it to your state capitol, go to your county seat. Get everybody, all the patriots. You take 75 million people, put them in their cars, and go jam up these state capitals. And then maybe at a specific time on that same day, everybody steps outside of their cars and starts a chant, 4 more years, we want Trump, or whatever. And the perfect day to do that, I mean, you could do it on a weekend, but if this makes it to the Supreme Court, that's the day you want to do it.
You think it's going to? You think that would work, Roger? You think that would work?
I think the people would be counted, and I think the people would be heard. And I don't know if it'd work or not. But it's the only thing I could figure out to get the whole nation to come together and do it all in one day.
Well, I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the traffic jams. We got bad traffic in our city, and I get irritable when I'm stuck in traffic. But I don't know. I mean, Roger, some people might take you up on that. I mean, maybe that's something that can be done. Roger, appreciate the telephone call. Thank you for the idea. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, if you were listening to my show while you were stuck in traffic, yeah, I could see that. Okay, that might be tolerable, I guess. All right, hang tight. Oh, Jerry the Liberal from Milwaukee wants to weigh in. I haven't heard from him in a while. Hope he's doing good. We'll have to check on his turkey day, see how that went. All right, folks, 844-747-8868. ToddStearns.com is our website. We'll be right back. Baker, I gotta tell you something. I'm not a very sensitive person, and you know that, because you know in this business you can't be a sensitive person. But my when people talk about, you know, when they say, hey, what kind of music do you listen to, Starnes? And everybody just assumes it's like, you know, Barry Manilow or like, you know, Lawrence Welk. I know you don't know who that is.
Some bluegrass.
Yeah, well, I like bluegrass, but I'm a huge Skillet fan. And so when I got to one of my favorite interviews I ever did of all time, I got to interview John Cooper several years ago when I was back at Fox, and it was the coolest thing. I mean, I think it upped my cool status just
a
few
fangirling?
Notches. I was fangirling, to be honest, but not in a Barry Manilow sort of way. So anyway, John Cooper's on the Liberty University Newsmaker line, probably regretting wanting to do this interview right now. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going? No regrets. I feel good.
No, man, you keep me. I love the music and what you guys do and the great ministry that y'all have. And it's really a great honor to have you with us today.
Well, that's so kind. Thank you. It's great to chat with you again. It was fun last time.
Indeed. And, of course, now here in Memphis, Tennessee, where you have lots of fans, and also this terrific new book that we're going to talk about called Awake and Alive to Truth, Finding Truth in the Chaos of a Relativistic World. Wow. You know, that's for such a time as this book, John.
Right. Yeah, wow, right? You know, what's funny is that, you know, I began writing it. You know, as it always is, you begin writing it. It always takes longer than you think it's gonna. But it's my first book, and I was writing it on the road last year. And I was thinking, I really think that now is the time this book has to come out, last November. At that time, had it come out, it would have had a few things in it that would have been a little ahead of the curve, I think, in terms of critical race theory and some of those, the cultural Marxism and some of those things. And it didn't happen, and here we are putting out a year later, and I realized this is the right time for this book to come out. And I'm very excited. I hope the Lord uses it, and I hope he brings it to people who are kind of quite confused, to be honest, and can bring some light into a dark time.
I mean, I know you guys are a Christian band, so my apologies if this is offensive, but a lot of people in the Christian world, and especially in the music industry, would not dare talk about some of these issues that you've been talking about for quite some time that I think we need to talk about. I mean, they do not have the man parts that John Cooper has.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I was kind of prepared for what you might ask me, and I was thinking, I could see somebody saying, like, Why are you speaking up about these things? And my answer, frankly, and I usually think that I'm actually telling people information they don't know when I answer it this way, but apparently not you, is basically that there are people talking about these things in the Christian theological world, or there are some pastors or people like you on certain radio programs and whatnot. But when it comes to the social media world, there's virtually no one talking about it from a Christian musician, or maybe you want to call it Christian celebrity. I don't really know what you want to. I hate the word Christian celebrity, but I think you get my point. In other words,
well, we get it. Yeah,
there's a lot of people like me. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a church leader. I'm somebody that plays music, but I love to talk about Jesus. It's a death sentence for your career if you do it. It's just not popular, and frankly, there aren't many people in the Christian entertainment industry that even hold these views any longer. You know, most of the Christian entertainment industry has gone extremely liberal in their theology. So that's the reason I began saying, hey, I don't think that I'm all that smart. I'm not the guy to be doing it, except there's no one in this space doing it in the Christian music world. So you know what? Let's grab a sword and let's get down to business.
No, and I got to tell you, John, you know, I've always enjoyed your music, but when I heard you starting to talk about those issues, and I thought, wow, I mean, it's so refreshing, because in a way, at least in the early days of this, you know, you kind of feel like you're on an island, and then to hear you come out and speak, I suspect many other people in the Christian world feel the same way you do, and maybe they did not have the courage to stand up, and you're so eloquently putting into words what so many other people are thinking.
Well, I mean, I appreciate that. That's very kind. I do want to say that, let's be honest, I'm 45. In other words, I'm not 25. I'm not just starting my career. It would be much harder to do if I really needed the record sales. Let's be honest, it's been a long time, and we've had a great career. I don't want to lose my career, but if I do, I can do something else, and I'm not 25. So I'm in a good position, thankfully. But what I will say is something that you just alluded to, and what I sense is happening, and maybe I'm wrong, but what I sense is happening in the church at large in America is what you just said, is that there is a bit of a, I'm hearing this whispering, the whispering starting up in the lay people. That's the normal churchgoer. Maybe he's not an elder. Maybe they're not pastors. But they're the normal churchgoer that are beginning to say, hey, we need to hold our church leadership accountable, because they have, a lot of these pastors have not been preaching the word of God as it ought to be preached, and as clearly as it ought to be preached. I'm beginning to hear a lot of whisperings of a revolution from lay people saying it's time to ratchet this up, and maybe they're going to hold their leadership, their feet to the fire. And I think that would be a really great thing.
You write in the book, you talk about this this era of tolerance and self-proclaimed love, and yet you ask the question, so why is it that we're getting angrier and lonelier? You know, that is a terrific question to ask.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at it, right? It's like every time you turn the TV on, you can't watch Hulu or go to a gas station. You can't do anything without being preached at by an atheistic world about what love is. And of course, if we read the Bible and in our faith, we understand that if you don't know Christ, then you can't actually love like God loves anyway. We know that. But it's the irony of pagans and heathens preaching at you all the time about love and how great they are at love and acceptance and that you're not doing your part. But at the same time, look at the world we're living in. Divorce rates are up. People just aren't getting married. I wrote it in the book, and I can't remember the statistics because I don't have one of those brains that can remember all the statistics, but it's in the book. It's like the lowest marriage rate in 100 years or something like that. The teenage suicide is on the rise. I think it's risen 40% over the last 18 years or something like that. 40% rise in suicide. Anxiety. People hate each other. People no longer can have friends who don't vote like them. It's the irony of a world that thinks that they know what love is, but actually what they are creating is more division and more hatred. And so what you have is you have a lot of Christian, especially Christian millennials, that really are not grounded in the Word of God because they were raised in this era of self-proclaimed tolerance that is actually not tolerant at all, and they're confused of what it means to live for Jesus. So I hope in the book to explain what true love actually is and the way that God loves and his perfect love actually demands justice, and it demands punishment for sin. And it is loving for God to punish sin because it's part of what true love actually is. It's part of loving the truth, if you will.
John Cooper on the Liberty University Newsmaker line, folks, from Skillet, author of an incredible new book. And we have a link to the book, Awake and Alive to Truth, on our live show blog over at todstearns.com. John, you know, when I grew up born and raised here in Memphis, and went to a Baptist church and went to Sunday school and then church training union on Sunday nights. And we had royal ambassadors during the week. And then you had the Wednesday night, you know, fellowship meal. You're kind of like, you know, just you're always getting filled with truth and knowledge and casseroles. But unfortunately, I think going back to what you were talking about, the millennial generation of Christians, so many of those churches jettisoned all of the Sunday night programs and all of the Bible study programs, and you went into the kind of the 5-point self-help sermons. And I'm wondering if we're really taking a look at where we are now, if maybe one of the issues is that Christians just don't know a lot.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, Todd. Yeah, that's 100% what it is. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And I do write about a few of them in the book. I just kind of mention them here and there. One of those things, I think, you know, as with all things, we always tend to pendulum swing, don't we? You know, we think, hey, Christianity has been too, you know, A, B, or C. And then we end up pendulum swinging all the way over to the other extreme rather than just kind of growing in our faith. And I think probably what happened in retrospect, this is just my opinion, by the way, people may disagree. In 2001, 2003, 2004, I remember hearing so many Christians talking about being relevant. That was the big thing. I don't know if you remember that. They're like, you got to be relevant. We got to talk about relevance. And I remember thinking, what does the word relevant mean? Like, what do they mean when they say relevant? And it took me a while to know what they meant. And I think what they were responding to was maybe that for some time Christianity had not engaged culture issues. We hadn't engaged culture in terms of, I don't know, maybe that's film, maybe it's music, maybe it's art, whatever that is, politics. They felt that Christianity had been too rigid and too exclusive, and maybe we hadn't reached the world as we ought. So then they said, you got to be relative. But in that, when I look back on it, it just seems to me that we became relevant to the world, but irrelevant for the gospel. Basically, it just made it to where all we really wanted was for non-Christians to like us and to think that we weren't judgmental, and it was cool. We could all hang out and have a coffee together, and there would never be any strife in our relationship. You know, I think that the good side of that is we should have friends who hate Christ, and we should have friends that don't like us and don't vote like us and are pro-choice and whatever else. I think it's great to have friends like that. But there are going to be times of strife in your relationship because people hate the truth. When they don't know Christ, they hate the truth. And Jesus said that to his disciples, right? Don't be surprised if the world hates you. They hated me first. So I think it's an encouragement to the Christian that we need to come back to what actual love is. And telling the truth is a very big part of that. Otherwise, we can't look to Jesus as our example of love.
It's a terrific point. John, we're going to have to leave it there. Man, we love having you on this show. We got to get you back sometime. Congratulations on the book, and I hope it's doing well for you.
Well, thank you, Todd. I really appreciate it. It's great to chat with you. I would like to say one last thing. I want to encourage anybody, if you have friends that are not saved, and you want them to hear the gospel, but you know they're never going to sit through a John Calvin book or something, this could be a good book for that. It has a gospel presentation, and I think it's pretty easy to read, so check it out.
And, of course, your great podcast as well, johnlcooper.com is the website. I love your logo, man. That's like a fierce logo.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. I super appreciate the interview, brother.
All right. John Cooper, ladies and gentlemen, great American patriot, good Christian man. And an incredible musician, too. And if you are easily triggered, be very careful about this book. Grace Baker, I was reading some of the... are you fangirling, Grace Baker?
What?
Yes. It's John Cooper from Skillet.
I mean, it's pretty cool. I saw them at Winter Jam once, and they were my favorite band there for sure.
Did you guys get a chance to connect when you called up for the...
Oh, yeah. He's super nice.
All right. Very nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice guy. Some of the titles and the topics in the book, Cancel Christianity, Falling into the Abyss of Wokeness,
Oof.
Civil War in the Church, Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion is the New Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. This is good
Dang.
Stuff. I've got
dropping the truth bombs.
Mm-hmm, big time. Carpet bomb with the truth. And I think the country needs more of that. Oh, hey, folks, we got to take a quick break. By the way, we do have John's book. We have a direct link to it. Awake and Alive to Truth. If you are a Christian and you are just sort of curious about what's happening in the culture right now, get yourself a copy of this book. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
All right, so this is coming from Gateway Pundit. I'm just going to read this, and I'm very curious to get your thoughts on this. wow. Folks, I'm telling you, it's wow. So here is the story. Lynn Wood, who is a renowned attorney, he represented, of course, the Olympic bomber, Richard Jewell back in the day, successfully defended him against the heinous Atlanta Urinal Constipation newspaper. He represented successfully Nicholas Sandman, the young man for the Covenant Catholic High School kid. I wrote he had a chapter in my book about him. Lynn Wood just tweeted this out today, and I want to get your take on it. Lynn Wood says, our country is headed to civil war, a war created by third-party bad actors for their benefit, not for we the people. Communist China is leading the nefarious efforts to take away our freedom. And here we go, folks. Lynn Wood says President Trump should declare martial law. So, this is interesting. We have not gotten any clarification on this. Now, keep in mind, Lynn Wood is not working for the president. Lynn Wood is certainly defending the president, but he's not a part of the Trump administration. But let's just take this as what it is, that this is not some sort of a clarification, that he meant what he wrote here, that President Trump should declare martial law. Do you think the president ought to do that? Should the president declare martial law? Are we at that point? Do you believe the country is headed to civil war? Now, let's just step back for just a moment. There have been a lot of allegations. And look, anybody can file an affidavit. Anybody can do that. But when you are brought into court, at that point, you have to be honest. When you file an affidavit, you don't necessarily have to be honest. You can lie. But when you're in a court of law, that's when the rubber meets the road and you have to be honest. Now, if we are to believe that there was, in fact, third-party bad actors working here to infiltrate the election and stop President Trump from being reelected, what do you think ought to happen? I mean, it's a legitimate question now. What do you think ought to happen here? Should the president declare martial law? I don't think he's going to do that. I really don't. But if, in fact, there was fraud, if, in fact, they are able to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that this election was stolen, what do you do then? You think the Democrats are going to go quietly into the good night? Do you think Antifa is just going to put down their baseball bats and go home and go back to church? You think Black Lives Matter is going to go back to their homes and not burn down city blocks? Do you really think that's going to happen here, folks? Again, you've got to think big picture here. Where does all of this go? And if you have Lynn Wood out there now saying that the president ought to declare martial law, I don't know, folks. It is getting very, very interesting. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number, 844-747-8868. Lynn Wood says, declare martial law. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. This is the Todd Stern Show.